toddlers have incredibly busy brains and a very different perspective to that of adults. But should we look to them for inspiration about how to be happier or more successful? I mean, they have very poor impulse control and they're quite self-centred at times. Pediatrician and Associate Professor Hassan Merali works closely with the under fives, and he says there's a lot we can learn from their unencumbered approach to life, and that does sound very appealing. Dr. Morali's new book is Sleep Well, Take Risks, Squish the Peas, Secrets from the Science of Toddlers for a Happier, More Successful Way of Life. Dr. Morali, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thanks so much. It's nice to be here.
It's really, really fascinating thinking and talking about this subject. And in the book, you use the word toddlers to encompass kids age one up to, you know, somewhere around five. What qualities do you most admire about this age group?
I just love how these little people approach life right from the time they wake up. I have a three-year-old, and so when I get her out of bed in the morning, she, is a little sleepy, and once she wakes up, she just walks right over to the mirror and gives herself a big high five because she knows that she's a great person. She knows that she's going to have a great day. She's going to laugh a lot, is going to meet a lot of new people and play with her friends. And their approach to life is quite different than everyone else. And I think they're happier because of it.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because you write a lot about this joyous, beautiful, unencumbered way of living, as we mentioned in the introduction, because it's not weighed down with all the responsibilities that adults have. What's happening in their brains that's allowing that state of affairs?
Yeah, so their brains are wired a bit differently. Because they are in a period of rapid development, one of their main focuses is to learn quite a bit. And one of the ways they do that is to build relationships. So this focus for them on learning and building relationships allows them to, for example, ask more questions than anyone else and laugh along with people because they want to build those relationships. And that's what makes their life more meaningful and more productive.
They're just building brain connections too at an incredible rate, aren't they? And that learning is building more learning in their brains.
Yeah, it's a time period that we can never get back to in terms of the amount we can learn so rapidly. And so that phase is a very special phase and brings out so many good qualities. You know, another one I point to a lot is reading. I mean, there's no toddler that doesn't have their own little library and no toddler that doesn't want to spend their evenings reading as many books as possible. And if that's some of the things, if that specifically and other things we did, we would, I think, enjoy our lives more and learn a lot more.
It's disturbing to me, actually, that there are toddlers who don't have those opportunities. But yeah, the ones who do, you can see it feeding idea upon idea, can't you, as they build on what they're sucking like up a sponge every day. Hassan, our brains change as we grow older. What effect does that have?
So as we get older, we're able to filter out a lot of the quote unquote noise in our lives. And our brains want to function in a way that's a little bit easier on us. And that's nice because we can plan for things in the future. But that also means that we live a little less in the moment and more in the future. So when I walk my little one to preschool, this is a 10-minute walk that she's done hundreds of times. But we have to stop and look at the clouds that day or look at the puddles or a pile she sees as we're kind of thinking about, talking about and exploring. Whereas if I just did this walk myself, it would be a pretty straightforward walk.
But I guess, you know, that you write in the book about how the older brain prunes synapses and kind of whittles things down to what we feel we need for the way we live. That also allows us to have a pretty well-developed executive function, doesn't it? Can we have both?
It's hard. We certainly go through this transition period when we're, you know, leaving toddlerhood, preschoolhood and getting older. And so that kind of middle childhood range is that period. But it's hard to have all the qualities that we do when we don't have that executive function. But, you know, I think we can still bring those things back into our lives and thinking about what toddlers do and how they act and trying to do a little more of that can help us do that.
I was really fascinated to see you taking issue with use of the words like terrible twos or threenagers. But I guess, you know, people who have raised toddlers will go, they do have those joyous aspects, but they are also occasionally very self-centered, a bit on a hair trigger. Their emotional regulation, it leaves a lot to be desired. How do you say we should think about toddlers? Do we need to adjust our expectations of them, perhaps?
Yeah, I think parenting, you know, I give a lot of props to parents. I'm one of a little one as well. And it's hard to be in that parenting moment with them because they are so active and so busy and it is exhausting. But I think if we can take a step back and really look at how they're acting, look at the data, we'll see that the tantrums are actually, you know, a median time, 3 minutes a day. At the very, very most, it would be highly unusual to get to 10 minutes, and they're awake for 12 hours a day. And so that is a small period of their time. And so what I like to talk more about is how they're spending the rest of their time while they're awake, not in that moment or moments in the day, which are relatively short-lived.
We're speaking with Dr. Hassan Mirali, who is a pediatrician and associate professor and works with the under fives. And he's written a book called Sleep Well, Take Risks, Squish the Peas, Secrets from the Science of Toddlers for a Happier, More Successful Way of Life. Let's look at some of the lifestyle things, Dr. Mirali, because you say that toddlers can teach us about things like eating well and sleeping well and exercise. Let's start with sleep. What do they do well there?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important ones. And just as a foundation for improving your life in general, if people can improve their sleep, then everything else almost will get better. And so toddlers like to have a sleep routine, as most parents know. And if you get them on the sleep routine, they're actually quite good at sleeping for long periods of time and not waking up. And so the toddler sleep routine, if adapted for adults, I think works amazingly well. And so it's very, very simple. You start 1 hour before you're planning to go to bed. You take either a hot bath or a hot shower. The next thing for toddlers, it's getting lotion, but for adults, it can be lotion or any other hygiene related item. And then, as I alluded to before, reading is very important for them. And so ending that the night with a book for a good 20, 30 minutes. And also just ensuring that there's no screen time in this last hour is the toddler bedtime routine that is incredible for adults.
You also recommend napping during the day, which I found very appealing, but also wondered how I would fit in with my life. How important is that aspect?
Yeah, I think it works for some people who, very few people who have complete control over their schedules. I'm not one of them because I'm an ER physician, but I do it on the weekends because my little one is still napping and I started to with her, and it's very helpful. And if people are in a position where they're able to do that, even short ones, actually less than 30 minutes is recommended. So around the 15 to 20 minute mark in the early afternoon, then that can also give a big boost to alertfulness and creativity.
My favorite bit was the squish the peas aspect of the approach to food. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so squish the peas is really what toddlers are all about, both in terms of their playfulness and their approach to life and how they're playing almost at all times. And with food specifically, what I like about toddlers and what I think is almost always true with them is that they're very mindful eaters. They're living in the moment, as they always do, and they're listening to their bodies. And it is very hard to make a toddler overeat, because they will just stop eating when they're full. And they know how to say no better than anyone. And they know how to play with their food if they're full. And it's something we kind of lose along the way, unfortunately, because as adults, we start to eat for other reasons, like boredom, or we're with other people and there's social reasons. But I think there's an important lesson there from toddlers, is that if we could listen to our bodies and we could stop when we're full, then that would really be beneficial to us.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because I was thinking about how, say, at work, often work breaks for food aren't long enough to get that feeling of fullness accurately coming into your body. You know, it takes 20 minutes or so for your body to recognize that it's full. Mm-hmm. Do we need to change perhaps our approach to food in our institutionalized spaces?
Yeah, no, I think it's important that you mentioned like the time it takes for our body to recognize when we're full as well. And so there are these places called the Blue Zones, which your listeners might have heard about. It's places where people live much longer than the average lifespan, and many of them are in Japan. And there they have a term in Japanese called harahachibu, which is eating till you're 80% full. And so they know that there's a delay between how much you're eating and then when you're actually going to be full. And so when they get to this subjective 80%, they'll stop eating.
I love the Japanese approach to just about everything. So, yep, that sounds like a useful one to incorporate. Dr. Hassan Mirali is our guest, who's been looking at the ways that toddlers live, the way their brains work, the way they use their bodies and interact with people, and how those things could help adults, not just in that kind of indefinable sense of living well and having more happiness and joy in our lives, but actually in a workplace as well. And so I can't wait to get to that, but I want to read this lovely text that's come through from Beck. Yesterday, I was doing colouring with my toddler and went out of the lines. And she said, "Don't worry, you're still learning." She also woke up this morning and said, "I'm the cutest person in the world," which is clearly objectively true. Greg says, "Toddlers have to learn the rules, boundaries, self-control. Maybe us adults need to unlearn the rules, push the boundaries, let loose on occasion at least." But those limits are important, aren't they, Hassan? I mean, it's about finding a balance between, I guess, not letting society collapse and also continuing to pay the mortgage, but following some of these rules that you're setting forward about how to ease off on ourselves a bit. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, for sure. And they're not perfect. They have a lot to learn as well, and they're in that process too. But I think some of us have gone maybe a little bit too far in the other direction, where we have maybe too many rules or too many schedules, and we're saying yes too much. And this toddler approach of living more in the moment and being a little bit more playful and certainly laughing as much as they do throughout our day is it just makes our lives better.
It was interesting to see that you said, you know, if you laugh before you learn something, it increases your chances of retaining that. Let's talk a little bit about how this approach might work at work. You argue that looking at toddlers could help our approach to teamwork. A lot of people will say, wait, though, toddlers are not always good at sharing. How will this work?
Oh, I am glad you brought this up. So I'll address the sharing issue first, because toddlers are actually very, very good at sharing, and they'll even share. I just have one study of many, but there's 1-year-olds. They are hungry. It is their snack time. They have their favorite foods in front of them, and there's a person who has dropped that food and can't reach it. And only a quarter of the toddlers eat the food. The rest of them give away the food, and the time they do it is in 1.5 seconds. So they are, in fact, really, really good sharers.
So why do we think of
And
them as
then
not?
I think there are, like, tantrums. They get this reputation of, like, these things when they're perhaps loud or angrier than usual, and that's when people notice them. But if you actually study them, you know, thousands of them in a controlled setting, I think there are some surprising results, and certainly kindness and sharing, they really shine.
That's good to know. Okay, so back to the teamwork. How can being more like a toddler help us at work?
Yeah, so toddlers are amazing at teamwork. It's something they enjoy doing. And what's great about them is that they enjoy the process of working in a team, and they're less outcome focused. And so, again, some great studies where toddlers are paired with an adult, they're working on a joint task, the adult just stops working. And, you know, this happens to us in our daily lives as well, where one team member is not functioning like we would want them to. And so toddlers will do a couple of things. First, they start with clear communication. They address that person, and then they address the issue very respectfully and calmly. If that doesn't work, they'll walk over to that person and try to help them through the task. And the whole time they're doing this is without blame. I love that little story that your listener sent in about the coloring. Like, don't worry, you're just out of the lines and you're learning. And that's how toddlers approach the way they work in teams. And I think if we were able to do that, we would function better in teams as well.
They also ask a lot of questions. I've noticed one study said it put it at 107 an hour, which just blew my mind. And your argument runs, look, you know, if we ask more questions, we would learn more and people would actually appreciate that, our kind of efforts to build on our knowledge. But, I mean, is that actually the case? Some workplaces, I feel, it puts you at a disadvantage if you appear not to know too much.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that we, the reasons why we don't ask as many questions. But actually, the penalty we get for thinking about that, it's much more exaggerated in our minds. And if we were to ask those questions, not only would we learn more, but it also builds trust and builds relationships. And that's one of the reasons why toddlers are doing it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be something too intense to start off as you're building those relationships. Even like the small talk questions that we ask each other can really help build that trust as we get to, you know, bigger questions. And the last part of that is, if taking that even outside the workplace and talking about relationships, you know, in speed dating, for example, like the people who ask the most follow-up questions get the most second dates. And so it really just shows about how important questions are for another person to be receiving.
Socializing was another fascinating aspect of this book too. You write that toddlers are indiscriminately pro-social. And I saw a video the other day of this gorgeous little person making friends with ants, just going up to ants and going, hi, aunt, my name is Maisie. It's beautiful.
I've seen that.
It's so cute, isn't it? But what happens as we get older and start to discriminate between different kinds of beings and different people, depending on how they treat us? Is it bad if we go, look, that person's not been kind to me, so I'm going to back off a bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's protective and the way we've evolved. And of course, I think that's important. I think, you know, from my work in the ER, I certainly see little ones getting too close to dogs and getting hurt, unfortunately. But it is special how they do think of everyone as friends, and they do have this initial approach to everyone as being friendly and wanting to make friends with them. And we lose a little bit of that as we get older, and it's also cultural as well. But I think we can all benefit from getting back to that a little bit.
It is lovely, isn't it, when you meet someone and they don't know anything about you, but they appear to like you anyway.
Yeah, it's very, very special. And I think toddlers are like that with everybody. And even just being around them will make people happier. And this has been studied the most with older adults, and wonderful studies where just putting toddlers around older adults will bring out more smiles, more laughter, more conversation. That's just the effect they have on people.
Yeah, there's a wonderful TV show here on the ABC called Old People's Home for 4-Year-Olds, which is on our iView platform for streaming, and it's just very, very heartwarming and lovely. Let's finish up with a brief discussion about play, because you say toddlers do it differently from adults. How is that?
Yeah, so play is something they put into every aspect of their life, when they're exercising, when they're eating, when they're doing pretty much anything. And what that does for them is it helps them laugh more, it helps them enjoy their lives more, it helps them become friends with people better. And I think there's a lot of good things we can learn from that. And if I could just leave your listeners with one very practical tip that they can hopefully take away from this. There's a great study where undergraduates were asked, okay, school is canceled, you can plan your day the way you want. And the other group was asked the same question, but said, pretend you're 7 years old. And the differences were amazing. Like the adult group talked about, you know, checking their email, making sure their cleaning got done, et cetera. And the childhood group talked about going to a pet store, visiting their grandma, and of course, going to a park and playing. And so I've just asked your readers, just as an activity, just as something fun to get your mind into this childhood frame of mind, the next time you have a little bit of time off, an hour, half hour, what would childhood you do in that amount of time and actually do that activity?
Yeah, jumping off things springs immediately to mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really fun way to think about the day. Hassan, thank you so much for bringing a little potential for joy into the minds of Life Matters listeners. It's been really interesting chatting with you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Hassan Mirali is an associate professor of pediatrics at McMaster University. He's a pediatric emergency room physician and the author of a book called Sleep Well, Take Risks, Squish the Peas, Secrets from the Science of Toddlers for a Happier, More Successful Way of Life.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.